Take your Bible and look at John, St. John, chapter number 6. St. John, chapter number 6. Good to see all of you here this morning, especially our visitors. Thank you for being here. John chapter 6, read a few verses here. Look at verse 66. The Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, hallelujah. Excuse me. Hallelujah. That still sort of happened me a minute. And it may not be helping you, but I know where I'm going. And maybe you don't know exactly where I'm going yet, but I'm trying to get there. And verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, this morning for what we've already enjoyed, the singing. Lord, we worshiped you with our giving. And Lord, I pray right now that you'd steal our hearts and minds. And Lord, all of our running in and out has been done. Lord, God, I just pray that we would give you our undivided attention. Lord, that cell phones would not work from this point on until we get out of this service. And Lord God, that we could give you a full attention. Lord, and give you our hearts, open our hearts, and let you speak to our hearts, God, that we need some help. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. Do that for us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. By way of introduction, I want to look at verse number 66. From that time, in other words, from the time after all of these things in chapter 6 had taken place, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with the Lord. I see here a conflict. There's a conflict and the pressure. The pressure has never been greater than it is today to turn back and follow the Lord no more. We're being told that you can't build a church using old-fashioned methods. You can't build a church runs 350, 400 without turning the lights down low and without getting a smoke machine and without bringing in the rock groups. Well, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. We're staying with the old-fashioned way. We're staying with the old-fashioned songs. We're not getting rid of the song books. We're not getting rid of the hymn books about Him. We're not going to dim the lights down low. We're going to have hard preaching and sweating and spitting and biscuit sopping, hellfire and damnation preaching. Holy Hills won't be for everybody in Dyersburg, but it looks like it's for a lot of people here. I see a conflict. The pressure gets on. Turning away from the Bible and turning away from cardinal doctrines that men of God have bled and died for. And then verse 67, I see a choice. There's a conflict in 66, but 67, there's a choice. And here he says, Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Some of us, we see what the multitudes are doing and what the majority is doing. And then the pressure gets on to turn away. And then we have a choice to make. And then in verse 68, Simon Peter gives a confession. I see a conflict in 66. I see a choice in 67. But 68, Simon Peter gives us a confession. I love Simon Peter. I relate to Simon Peter. Simon Peter is one of those guys who says stuff and he don't have a filter and it goes straight from here to there. See, some people don't have a built-in filter. And you need to have one. And I don't have one. I wish the Lord would give me one. And sometimes there's a filter process that needs to, when it thought here, it goes through the filter before it comes out of here. Some people don't have a filter like me, and it just boom, boom, and there it is. And Peter was that way. Most of the time, Peter is making a mess of things. Most of the time, Peter has got his foot stuck in his mouth. Most of the time, Peter just bombs out. But this time, Peter's got it right. Amen. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Let me put that in West Tennessee, Dyersburg, Millsfield, Cobb Road language for you. Where are you going to find a God like we got? Where are you going to find a God? Like Peter says, Lord, we ain't going nowhere. Where else is there to go? What other God is there? Some of you already give me the Baptist salute. Chapter number 6 is divided into 3 sections. I'm going to give them to you real quick. The first 14 or 15 verses deals with a very familiar story we're familiar with, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. And then you start about verse 15 and go through to about verse 21. It's where Jesus walks on the water, goes to his disciples. And then the rest of the chapter up until what we just read, Jesus gives a long discourse about him being the bread of life. Where could we go but to the Lord? Peter said, Lord, that you've all we got. But thank God, he's all we need. Amen. Outside of him, there is no other. Let me say this. Where are we going to find a God like this? Where are we going to find a Savior like we got? Where are we going to find a King like we got? He stands in a class all by himself. If you don't serve God, the God of heaven, who are you going to serve? If you're not going to trust the God of heaven, who are you going to trust? If you're not going to look to him, who are you going to look to? I rest my case at the cross of Calvary. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Amen. Peter says, we have no other. And I say this morning, we have no other choice but to stay with God. Amen. Number one, where are you going to find a Lord? Where are you going to find a God for a provision that will supply? In the first part of the chapter, you'll see Jesus feeding the 5,000. I don't have to read the story. You have heard sermons on the story. But where are you going to find a God that would invade your world of littleness, your world of nothingness, your world of need, and give you more than enough? That's the kind of God I need. There's a situation that's overwhelming. And the situation is this. There's 5,000 men plus their wives plus their children out there. And no matter how many are out there, God has a plan. He's got a purpose. Don't let anybody tell you, listen, the song is still true. Little is much when God is in it. And John 6:6, Jesus says he knew what he was going to do, and I'm thankful I know a God that already knows what he's going to do before he does it. He's never a day late or a dollar short. He's not breaking sweat, wringing his hands. He don't need a rabbit's foot or a four-leaf clover. He don't need to read his horoscope to check to see how all the planets are lining up. He already knows, and you don't either. You don't need a rabbit's foot. You don't need a four-leaf clover. You don't need a horoscope. I don't need a rabbit's foot, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I know a God who knows already what he's going to do before he does it. His plan is in motion. You ain't going to sneak up on him. You ain't going to surprise him. Hallelujah. There's a God in heaven who occupies both sides of the river. The situation was overwhelming. The supplies were insufficient. When the scene opens, they don't have anything to eat. When the scene closes, they got 12 baskets left over. More than enough. Where are you going to find a God like that? They didn't know the little boy was in the crowd, but God knew the little boy was in the crowd. The provision was there before the need arose. Hallelujah. You write that down, put it on your refrigerator. The provision was already there before the need arose. He didn't know the lunch was there, but God is under control. He's got everything under control. He had a little lad that was going to feed the hungry bunch with his little lunch. Hallelujah. Oh, write a song. The country looks bad. The banks look bad. The economy looks bad. But standing somewhere in the shadows, I've got a God who is rich in mercy in Christ Jesus. He's in control. He knows what he's going to do before he does it. I can just imagine. I like to use my imagination. I can just imagine Andrew. Andrew's going around. He runs across this little boy. And he says, little boy, I need that lunch. He said, what are you going to do with this lunch? He said, you see all them people out there? He said, yeah. He said, I need that. The Lord's going to feed all them people with that. And that little boy said, well, I got to see this. Now, that's in the Greek. You just have to read it. That's what it means in the Greek. And that little boy says, the supplies are insufficient. I don't have but 5 loaves, 2 fishes in here, and you're not going to feed all them people with what's in this little bag. And Andrew says, well, let Jesus have it. Some of you in this room are looking at what you got and say, this is insufficient. I cannot meet this need. It's insufficient. There's no way we can do this. Why don't you just give it to Jesus, see what he can do with it? I got this problem. God himself can't even fix this problem I got. Boy, I'm telling you what, I got this problem. Hey, why don't you just try to give it to him, see what he can do with it? He might do more with it than what you think. Situations overwhelming, the supplies were insufficient, and the surplus was abundant. Where are you going to find a God like that? Where he can make the provision that will supply.
Right.
But then you look here in the second part of chapter 6, in about verse number 15 through 21, where are you going to find a God for a peace that will sustain? Where are you going to find a God that will make a provision that will supply? And where are you going to find a God for a peace that will sustain? Where are you going to find a God like that? Supply your need and still the troubled waters. Tell the storm, hey, I'm glad I know the wave walker, the peace speaker, and the, amen, the storm stealer. Hallelujah. Even in the storm, he's still God. Hey, they're not in this storm. Jesus tells them, said, hey, you guys, get in that ship. Go to the other side. I'll meet you on the other side. Hey, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Guess what, people? Holy Hills Baptist Church. Look, think about this. Think about this. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've already done. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Got news for you. We're going to the other side. There may be storms. There may be trouble. God didn't say how many storms was between here and yonder. There's going to be some. But I'm telling you this, if he said you're going to make it to the other side, you're going to make it to the other side. Just get in the boat. Trust him. Then the storm came. Oh, did the storm come? And I can tell you this. Listen, them disciples couldn't see the Lord. They was in the middle. They was in the middle of water there. Sometimes I'm telling you, I didn't take my medicine this morning. They was in the middle of that water. They couldn't see him, but he could see them. And while they were going through a storm, he was up there praying for them. He was on top of the mountain praying for them. I'm telling you this. Then Jesus came to them in the fourth watch of the night. What the Bible says. He came to them in the fourth watch of the night. Malachi chapter number 4. Last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 4. The Bible says the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Did you know this, ladies and gentlemen? 4,000 years in the Old Testament. From Genesis all the way to Malachi. Before Jesus is born. 4,000 years of Old Testament history. From Adam all the way up till now. 4,000 years. Bible says in Peter, day of the Lord, 1,000 years. 1,000 years, one day. That means 4 days in the Old Testament before the Lord showed up. Now that's better than what y'all amen. 4 days in the Old Testament, boom. Then the birth of Jesus Christ. There he is. In the storm, Jesus shows up in the fourth watch of the night. The darkest part of the day. Well, I got news for you. Lazarus was 4 days before Jesus showed up.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, y'all not enjoying that too much, but anyway. He showed up on the fourth day. Jesus showed up in the fourth watch of the night when it's the darkest, when you think it can't get any darker than what it is. You just look for him. He's standing in the shadow somewhere. You'll find Jesus. He'll come to you walking on the sea. He'll still the stormy waters, and he'll heal your broken heart.
Amen.
Amen. You may think about this. That storm, you read the story, the storm was over their head. I'm getting excited about thinking about this. The storm was over their head. But when Jesus came to them, the fourth watch of the night, what was over their head was under his feet.
Right.
Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Let me say that to the Pentecostal side over here. Y'all got to help me. They asleep over there. Them disciples, the storm that was over their head, Jesus walked on under his feet.
Right.
See there? That's how you do it. Well, anyway, when it's out of control, he is in control. Where are you going to find a God like that? Hey, in all seriousness, I mean, I know we're trying to have a little fun, but look, when all seriousness, every one of us in this room are just one phone call away from the worst day of our lives. In all seriousness, we just one phone call away from the worst day of your life. What are you going to do then? Who are you going to turn to then? Who are you going to turn to? Who are you going to pray? Who are you going to pray to? But listen, look at chapter 6 and verse number 20. I wasn't going to read none of the story, but verse number 20. Verse number 19, when they had rowed about 5 and 20 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship. And they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is, be not afraid." I got to tell y'all this sometimes I talk to the TV. And this was one time when the hurricane was coming through. I can't remember if it was Florida. I don't remember where. One of them hurricanes that come through. And I don't like storms, all right? I mean, you know, just I like to watch them on the Weather Channel, but I don't like them when they come through. And listen, I'm going to tell you, this weatherman was a whole lot sharper than what I give him credit. Because this is what he said. He said, this is the way we understand this hurricane. The reason we understand the hurricane is because we send some of these meteorologists way up above the storm, and we fly over the storm, and we look down, and that thing's a twirling like this. Y'all with me? He said sometimes that wind on the outside, man, it's going 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour. But he said in the middle, it's calm. And this is what he said. Hallelujah. He said, we call that the eye Let me go over here. They missed that one. They call that the eye of the storm. And they said, we can tell if the storm's going right or left, if it's going to speed up, if it's going to slow down, by watching the eye.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm feeling halfway spiritual about now. I'm glad I serve a God that's in the center of the storm. He controls the storm. He's the calm of the storm. Jesus said, it is I. Be not afraid. He's the eye of the storm. It may be dark outside. The wind may be blowing and the storm's coming in the boat with you. But I got good news for you, friend. Jesus Christ is in the center. He controls it. He calms the storm. He's in the very center of the storm. He knows what you're going through, and if you'll just stay with the I, you'll be all right. It is I. Be not afraid. I gotta tell you this. I had a preacher friend, and I may not do it like he can, because he was preaching some on, and he was telling about the storm he was went through. Him and his family went through, and it's literally, I'm not talking about a spiritual storm. I'm talking about a real storm down in Florida. And he said that thing come through. And some of us, some of out in the Millsfield area, y'all have been through the tornado things and whatever. And it's a serious matter. But them people are hiding in their home. It came through right there where we live. And we bought that land after the tornado come through. It's a whole lot cheaper. Anyway, I just hope it's true. Storms don't strike twice in the same place. Hallelujah. He said that storm come through, and we was in our house, had our kids, and everything bottled up in the tub somewhere, had a mattress over top of the tub, and he said, son, that thing come through. And I'm talking about, he said, man, that wind's blowing, things going around. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, got real still. And then he said, it was like it started up again. On the backside. He said, I figured out I was, and when it was real calm, I was in the center. And he said, if I'd have known then what I know now, if I could have just stayed in the center, he said, everything would have been calm. So what you need to do, you're going through a storm and you get it real calm, just stay. Stay with the center where it's real calm. Hallelujah. Some of you need to laugh. Y'all ain't laughed in about 6 months. You need to laugh. Said they're traveling about 12 miles. They got to hurry. 12 miles. Says when they got in the middle, in the center, in the middle. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Middle ways. It means it's too far to turn back now. Holy Hills Baptist Church, we too far in this thing now to turn back now. And we ain't going back. It's too far. We done come too far to turn around and go the other direction now. We done come too far. And when the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea, they received him into the ship, and immediately they were on the other side. Say, preacher, what does that mean? They went further when Jesus got on board than they did with him outside the ship. Folks, you want to get through the storm? You better get him on board. Then verse 37, and I'm done. Verse 37. This is what he said. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Where are you going to find a God in the feeding of the 5,000 with the provision that will supply your need? Jesus walking on the sea. Where are you going to find a God with a peace that's going to sustain you? Where are you going to find a God for a promise that will save? Who else is going to save you? Who else is going to save you? All these other religions. I'm closing. Hang on. Don't get too excited. We learned that in seminary. You say, in closing, that'll buy you 15 more minutes. Even when I said in closing, everybody went. I even saw some of you when I said in closing, you went, yeah, yeah. All the other religions. Now listen, folks, serious business. All the other religions, if you want to get in their religion, you got to do, and you got to do, and then you got to do, and then you got to do some more. You say, preacher, how do I get into heaven? What do I got to do? Jesus said something on the cross when he died. He said, it is finished. That means it's done. You don't do. He's already done. You don't do anything. I'll give you, I'm closing. You see this nice piano? Nice piano. What would y'all think? I got me a screwdriver and a hammer. And I went over here, started hammering, and I know there'd be a fight. I guarantee you it'd be a fight. I go over here and start. Y'all, what in the world are you doing? I'm putting the finishing touches on this. You say, preacher, you're dumb. It's already finished. No, I'm helping. I'm going to make it better. How many of y'all think that's dumb? Get your hand up. How many think it's dumb? All right. It's as dumb for you to think you're going to help the Lord out and get yourself to heaven. It's already done. It's already finished. And it's what Jesus said. He said, you come to me, I'll in no wise cast you. Say, preacher, what does that no wise mean? Well, the only way I know, because I don't know Greek and Hebrew. Well, I know a little, but you don't need to know Greek and Hebrew. You just need a good English Bible is all you need.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. So you find that word wise, and you go to another place where it's mentioned in the Bible, and the other place where it's mentioned in the Bible is Matthew 1:18, where it says, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. So what does that mean? Well, that means on the birth of Jesus was on this wise means in this setting, on this occasion, under these circumstances, surrounding these events.
Yeah.
Well, then you bring that back over to John chapter number 6. I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Jesus said if you'll come to him under no circumstances,
yeah,
under no occasion, under no setting, under no surrounding of events, will I cast you out. If you'll come to him. I say this in closing. Where are you going to find a God like that? Where are you going to find a God that'll take little and make much? Where are you going to find a God that'll still your storm in a time of trouble? Where are you going to find a God that'll save you like he'll save you? I ask you what Peter asked you. I'll ask you the same question. Here's the invitation. Mark's coming. Jesus said this. Let me find it. Verse 67. Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? I don't know about y'all, but during the invitation, this is my invitation. I'm sticking with what Peter said. Lord, we have nobody else. We have no other plea. You have the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure. I have no doubt, people. I have no doubt in my mind. You say, preacher, all these religions in the world, and how you know you're right? I have no doubt in my mind. I believe and am sure that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
I'm not turning to nobody else. I'm turning to him. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, right now that you'd help us, this invitation. Lord, I thank you for God's people that'll listen. Lord, I hope they was doing more than listening to me. Lord, I hope they was listening to you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now. Somebody in here may not know you as their personal Savior. Somebody in here may be going through a storm. Lord, I just pray. The storm's over their head. Lord, you just walk to them. Walk on top of what's scaring them so bad. And Lord, show them that you're there. It is I. Be not afraid. Lord, there may be somebody in here right now not saved. And Lord, you said if he'd come to you, you'd in no wise cast out. Under no circumstances. Under no setting. Lord, that's a good promise. I pray that you'd help us today in Jesus' name. Won't you stand to your feet, all of the building? Come to this altar right now, would you? Come pray. Where are you going to find a God like that? Where is a God like that? Where are you going to find a God like that? You need to come pray. You come on. This is your invitation. Your invitation to come. Will ye also go away? I'm going to stay with the old-fashioned way myself.